You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
In 1919, November 11th was the first global commemoration of Armistice Day. It was a day to remember the end of World War I, peace that came on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Historians have argued that every war since then has been related to some unresolved border, nation, or boundary created when the guns of August 1914 changed the world forever. In this day, the presence of ISIS in Iraq is a continuation of World War I, however much ISIS has convinced us to believe it's part of something hundreds and hundreds of years old. These conflicts are explored in The 11th Hour, Unlearned Lessons of World War I. It's a series produced by Charles Sennett, the co-founder of Global Post and head of the Ground Truth Project based at our partner station WGBH in Boston. Charles Sennett joins us now. Charles, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks, John.
Charles, this is a really important and also emotional bit of history that you explore here that's very much alive today.
It is. It's the terrain of World War I is so important to understand today, and it is very powerful emotional terrain in understanding modern war. World War I really is the first modern war, the first mechanized war, the first war where civilians are really caught in the middle of this horrific conflict that kills 20 million people, that marshals 65 million troops, that topples three empires, and that most importantly, I think, shapes so many of the modern conflicts that I've covered as a journalist through the years. You know, the Balkans, absolutely. That's where World War I starts, with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand by a Serbian nationalist. And then you go into Israel-Palestine, and of course you have Balfour Declaration and the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which really redefines a modern Middle East along lines that were seen by many historians as arrogant and ignorant and really very much the tension points of today. And so we wanted to go back on the road, back to these conflicts, and re-examine that history 100 years on.
And what did you see in the places that you visited?
What I saw most recently in Iraq on the ground there and watching the Kurdish Peshmerga forces fighting against the Islamic State or ISIS, you really could feel this sense of an overlay of history, not only because the lines of modern Iraq were drawn in World War I by the British for their convenience, to the point where they sort of took the pen and looped around Mosul because that's where the oil was, so they could control that. And to hear the Islamic State fighters in their propaganda videos speak directly to those lines, which were set by the Sykes-Picot Agreement in 1916, and to hear them say, right out in front, you know, this is the Sykes-Picot line we're crossing right now between Syria and into Iraq. And they say, this line, the Sykes-Picot line, we do not accept it, and we're going to cross these lines as we build our caliphate in the region. So I think they're really sharing with the world, if we're willing to listen, that they know their history and they have a narrative that they're going to play out.
As you can see, this is the so-called border of Sykes-Picot. Alhamdulillah, we don't recognize it and we will never recognize it. Inshallah, this is not the first border we will break. Inshallah, we'll break other borders also, but we start with this, inshallah.
You know, Charles, that reminds me of a weird, strange story at the end of the first Gulf War when James Baker, as Secretary of State, came to Kurdistan to observe the refugee camps that were forming because, of course, Saddam was allowed to chase the Kurds northward in Iraq at the end of that war. The Kurds who were with Baker tricked him to cross the border into Iraq unwittingly. He was very, very careful not to go into Iraq. It was not to be Bush policy that he was to ever enter Iraq. But because no one paid any attention to the old British-made posts in the ground that marked the actual border between Iraq and Turkey, nobody ever saw it. And he took actually a few steps, technically, into Iraq because of that. All left over, these artifacts from the period you describe.
And I'm sure that was to the great pleasure of those Kurds who see their nation, Kurdistan, which is now spread out over three different countries, coming together in this moment. I mean, we all are watching the Kurdish Peshmerga stand up in a way that the Iraqi army, frankly, hasn't, right? They collapsed. They really fell. And the Kurdish fighters, the Peshmerga, are legendary for a reason. They are very good fighters. And they really do have an expectation now that because of the way they're taking the fight to ISIS, that they will have an independent Kurdish state at some point. And I think they're very aware of their history. They're very reflective of this moment. And they see it as a turning point in their own history, which, again, is one of the ways that this terrain of history of World War I continues to shape all of these modern conflicts that we're following every day in the news today.
Do you think that Kurdistan is more real of a place and that Iraq today is more of an invention of Winston Churchill and Gertrude Bell, the map maker, the famous map maker of that time?
I do, and I hate to say it in a sense that we might be giving the Islamic State some sense of its narrative or helping them fulfill a narrative, because they are really one of the great dark forces on this earth right now, a death cult. And I certainly don't want to do anything that would suggest that we were following their narrative. But on the other hand, the lines that were drawn in World War I embody the ignorance and the arrogance of Western colonial powers in that part of the world. Began 100 years ago, and it's continued apace decade after decade after decade. And if we're going to really take something from history, it's to learn that we cannot operate that way in the region without having successive failures, one after another. We have to change the way we view the region. We have to look at it more realistically. And I do think we are seeing modern Iraq coming undone. Lines sometimes do need to be reconsidered, and sometimes the arrogance of the empires that created them need to be confronted and understood in the current moment.
Well, it's what Ground Truth is all about, the Ground Truth Project. Charles Sennett is co-founder of Global Post and head of the Ground Truth Project based at our partner station, WGBH. Charles, thanks so much, and have a happy and thoughtful Veterans Day.
Thanks, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.